We're going to start a new series tonight called God's Great Mercy. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to Psalm 145:8. Psalm 145. We have this on our website. Psalm 145, verse 8. Everybody find it? All right. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender works, or tender mercies, are over all his works." This really reveals the character of God, of what he's like. You think of how awesome he is, how great God is. I know we don't. We're limited as human beings, but he is the most powerful being in the universe. He's far beyond our comprehension. When we're praying to him, when we're talking to him, we're speaking to the one that always has been. We've only been on the scene for a few decades or years. Everybody in here, a few decades. But he has always been. And yet he acknowledges us because of Jesus. But he is a good and he's a merciful God. That's his heart. Let's read this again. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Gracious and full of compassion. Not just a little bit of compassion in him. Full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all and is tender. Notice that. The Lord is good to all. If anybody had a right to be mean, it would be him. But he's good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. He's full of compassion. The dictionary tells us that to be full of compassion means to be merciful. So compassion and mercy are companion terms, we might say. If you look up the words compassion and mercy, you'll find that often the same Hebrew or Greek word is translated one time mercy and another time compassion. Notice here, it has both. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all and his tender works are over all." His tender mercies are over all his works. So therefore, to have mercy means to be full of compassion. To have mercy, if you have mercy, it means you're full of compassion. God is full of compassion. He is of great mercy. And his tender mercies are over all his works. So we're going to talk about mercy, just a little bit of it, because we could talk a lot about it. We're going to talk a little bit about it. God is such a merciful and good God. He is so good. Let's go ahead and turn over to Mark 1, verse 40. We're going to look at Jesus in his life, because Jesus is the will of God in action. We were talking about that on Sundays, but he is the will of God in action. He said he came to do the Father's will. So if we look at Jesus, we can tell what the will of God the Father is. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus himself said that. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So If we want to know what the mind of God is on anything, we can look at Jesus. So we can look at God's compassion manifested in the person of Jesus. So when we look at what Jesus did, we're seeing in his compassionate works, we're seeing God's attitude in God's mind and heart. Mark 1, verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Notice he doesn't know. This man does not know. See, we talked about this again in our other series, but it's one thing to believe that God can do something. It's a quite a different thing to believe that he will. And this is a big deal. And this is going to be a lot of the emphasis of what we're going to talk about. Because you know, just in the natural, many people on the earth, know of, I should have said, you may not know them personally, but you know of many people on the earth that have the ability to do, maybe they're very wealthy or have connections or whatever, could do many good things. And they have the capability to do good things for you. They have the resources, I should say. They have the connections. But them having the ability to do it and them being willing to do it for you are two completely different things. Just because they have the ability to do it, they don't know you from Adam or Eve. Doesn't mean they're going to use anything for you. They could have billions of dollars. That doesn't mean they're going to do anything for you. These are two different things. And see, this is the way people think toward God. And we have to be careful. We don't think this way toward God, and this is why we're talking about it. Is that we could come and believe that he can do something. He can heal. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's a creative God. He's the all-powerful. But believing that, and believing that he will heal us, that his power will flow, he has healed us. He's provided it. We know that. But believing that his healing power can be manifested in us now is a different thing from believing that he has the power to heal. In other words, believing that he has the ability to do something is different than believing that he'll use that power and ability on your behalf and that he is willing to do it right now, that there's no roadblock. So we get rid of that. That's how you get healing to flow. Hallelujah. Let's read a little bit further. So let's read that verse again. "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Notice his attitude. He comes, he kneels down before Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if you can, if you're willing, you can make me clean." What's he saying? I hope you're willing. Because he needs it. You know, being a leper, that's not a good life. He's an outcast, and he's probably very badly hurt. And he is coming to Jesus. He knows that he has the power. He's been convinced of that, evidently. But he's not convinced he'll do it. Verse 41, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Verse 42, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Notice that compassion moved Jesus to heal the leper. Healing is a display of God's compassion. Notice that it was compassion that moved Jesus to heal him. Healing is a display of God's compassion. Now let's look over another example. Go turn over to Matthew. Matthew 14, verse 13. Thank the Lord. Everybody there? Matthew 13, or 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, verse 14 says that Jesus was moved with compassion. So what did compassion move him to do? It moved him to heal. Verse 14 says, and that he healed their sick. The compassion of the Lord has been hidden from us a lot of times because we've been taught in different places, depends on what your background was, that Jesus healed the sick to prove his deity. Yet this isn't in the Bible. It doesn't say that. People have assumed that. People have taught it. People have come up with that idea that Jesus was doing this to prove his deity, to convince men that he was the Son of God. But that's not true. It's not in the Bible. Not once in all the recorded cases of healing does the Bible ever say, and to prove his deity, quote, to prove his deity and divinity, Jesus healed them. It doesn't say that. And if the Bible doesn't say it, then we shouldn't say it either. We shouldn't believe that. According to the Bible, Jesus healed the sick because of his compassion here. Not because of his deity or divinity. His compassion compelled him to do it, and thank God he's the same compassionate Lord today. Amen. He never changes. He's the same now as he was back then. So if he was gracious then, he's gracious now. If he was full of compassion then, he's full of compassion now. If he was merciful then, he's merciful now. Everybody say, he's merciful now. Tonight. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. Now another example, let's turn over to Matthew 20. This is another example of the great mercy manifested in Jesus in the area of healing. Matthew 20, just turn over a few chapters. Matthew 20, verse 29. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened."
So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
So the two blind men in this passage cried out for Jesus to have mercy on them. When Jesus asked these men what they wanted, they did not say, "We want our sins to be forgiven." We usually think of mercy in connection with the forgiveness or remission of sins. Isn't that true? When you think of somebody having mercy, what do you think of?
Somebody did something wrong, right? And they need mercy. That's the way we usually think about it. We think of mercy, the mercy of God extended toward the sinner. But is he any less merciful to the sick?
These men were asking for mercy in connection with healing.
If they had asked for their sins to be forgiven, that would be mercy, all right.
But when Jesus asked them what they wanted, they answered that we might receive our sight.
Get this, healing is a mercy too. Healing is a mercy.
Verse 34 said that Jesus had compassion or mercy on them. It says that he touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So let's review what happened in the passage. Two blind men asked for mercy. Asked for the mercy of having their eyes open. Jesus granted unto them the mercy of healing, proving that healing is a mercy just as forgiveness is a mercy. So these two blind men came and they said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And he said, "What do you want?" And he said, "We want to see." Paraphrasing, they said, "That we may receive our sight." And Jesus didn't say, "Your sins be forgiven." What did he do? He healed them. So healing's a mercy. Healing's a mercy of God. We have a compassionate and merciful God. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 1. Second Corinthians 1. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Everybody there? It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Notice that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. See, mercy isn't just something that God has or shows. It's part of His nature. Notice that the second part of the verse said he's the Father of mercies. This verse of Scripture reveals the character of our Father God. So many times we as Christians don't see God, our Father, in the light that we should. Sometimes we see Him, we have this picture of Him as a traffic cop. You know, just waiting for us to do something wrong so that he can blow the whistle at us. Or something like a judge with his gavel in hand waiting to hit us if we do something wrong. Now, we may have heard that type of thing and we don't, well, yeah, I've heard that, I know that. But it's subtle. You could still think God's kind of out there somewhere, and oh yeah, I know He's not waiting for me to get out of line, but I know I can do better. I know I should do better, and He's just, you know, still there's a hardness.
And that's not what these verses are saying. Now, he is a God of justice. But he's not mean. He's not cruel. He's not hard. And he's not just waiting for us to do something wrong. He is a compassionate, merciful God. God is against wrongdoing. He's a God of justice. So he's not winking at sin. But on the other hand, he's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. Now, I want to read you an account Brother Hagin tells of a person he knew. So it's just a story. So just listen. Let it, picture it in your mind. So he tells the account of this person. He was holding a meeting in a particular full gospel church and traveling to the meeting one night with a gentleman who he had asked to be the special singer. So I'll just read it the way he tells it. He says, "One night while we were driving to the revival meeting that was some distance away, he began telling me a story about something that had happened to him recently. This was way back in the Depression days. This man owned a little business. He was what we'd call a lay preacher because he was never in full-time ministry. Usually this man would sing in meetings, but sometimes pastors would ask him to preach if they had to be gone from church. A pastor contacted this man because of an emergency arose and asked him to take care of the Wednesday night service. So this gentleman said he would do it. Well, back in the Depression days, places of business didn't just operate for 8 hours. This man's business was open nearly every hour it could possibly be open. So on the day the pastor asked him to take the service, this man was busy working. He didn't have a lot of time to do praying or studying for that night's service. As this man left for the service, he realized he was running late and was going to have to rush in order to make it on time. He had to drive through 2 or 3 little towns to get to church. And while he was driving, he tried to meditate on scriptures for that night's message. One of the small towns he drove through didn't have but 2 red lights in the whole town. Preoccupied with preparing for the service, he ran one of them. About that time, he heard a siren and looked up to see flashing red lights right behind him. He pulled over and the policeman came up to him and said, "Do you realize what you did? You not only ran a red light, but you were driving 30 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone." The man answered, "Well, officer, if you say so, then it must have been so. I didn't even know there was a red light back there. I'll be honest with you, I was on my way to preach and I should have been paying attention, but I wasn't. I'm in the wrong, that's all there is to it. Go ahead and write me a ticket." The officer said, "Well, you did run the red light and break the speed limit, but I'm just going to give you a ticket for speeding. We'll forget about the other." Well, this man didn't have the money to pay for the ticket, so he had to appear before the local judge who would decide what he would have to work off what he owed. When he stood before the judge asked, "How do you plead?" He answered, "Sir, I'm guilty if this young man," the policeman, "says so." And then he went on to explain the situation to the judge exactly how he explained it to the policeman. The judge said, "Just because you were going to a service and so forth is no excuse." The man replied, "Judge, I don't have the money to pay the ticket. You'll just have to put me in jail. That's all there is to it." In those days, they had what was called a county farm or pea patch, and anyone who couldn't pay his fine was required to work on the country farm in order to pay it off. Then the man went on to say, "Judge, I didn't come here to plead for justice. I don't need that, because if I get justice, I'm going to jail. I came here to plead for mercy." Then he added, "Sir, I don't know whether or not you're a Christian." The judge said, "Yes, I am. I teach a Bible class at such and such church." The man continued, "Well, you ought to know the Bible. Do you remember the story in John chapter 8 about the woman who was caught in adultery? Under the law, she was supposed to be stoned to death. As the people prepared to stone her, they asked Jesus about the law. He answered them by saying, 'Let him who is without sin cast the first stone.' Then Jesus stooped down and wrote something in the sand. When he looked up, everyone was gone. He said, 'Woman, where are your accusers?' She said, 'I have none.' So Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' The man continued, 'Now I did wrong, all right, but if you'll have mercy on me,
I'll promise I won't do that anymore. I'll go and sin no more. The judge replied, you mean that story is in the Bible? The man happened to have his New Testament with him, so he opened it to John chapter 8 and showed it to the judge. The judge read the passage and said, case dismissed. And then he added, I'm going to teach that to my Sunday school class next Sunday. This man asked the judge for mercy because that's what he needed. He didn't need justice, he needed mercy. Isn't it good to know that God is the God and the Father of mercies? Yes, he's a God of justice, but he is also the Father of mercies. If he wasn't, none of us would be alive today. Amen? He is so merciful, so gracious, such a loving God. We think of who he is and who we are. He is such a merciful and loving God. Let's go look at 2 Corinthians 1:3 again. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Notice this verse doesn't say that God is the Father of mercy, singular. It says that he is the Father of mercies, plural. You see, if he was just the Father of one mercy, the mercy of forgiveness toward the sinner, for example, then Paul would have called him the Father of mercy. But thank God he's the Father of mercies, and one of his mercies is healing. In Mark chapter 5, go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 5. We're not going to read this whole account. Now, we're reading several scriptures today, going over some things, but likely we're going to go through some of these things. We'll probably hit some of the stuff, and we're going to go further as well. But we need to see some of these scriptures together, and we'll say some more, either tonight or in the future. Mark chapter 5. So Mark 5, verse 1. Well, let's just read it. There's a long account, but just in case you're not familiar with this account. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
And those who saw it told him how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he had gotten to the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." So Jesus had compassion upon this man, and the man was delivered, healed, clothed, and restored to his right mind. So we know he had compassion because the 19th verse says, "Go tell your friends, go to your friends, tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." So this verse implies that the Lord did great things for the man because he had compassion on him. So the man did what Jesus told him to do. Verse 20, it says, "He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Because of this man, because this man went and told others about the Lord's compassion, Jesus told him to tell the things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. Multitudes came to Jesus to be healed. Chapter 15 tells us that. Matthew chapter 15. So, let's see if we have time. Yeah, we can look at it and we could come back maybe. Let's see. All right, go ahead and turn over to Matthew 15, but I didn't tell you. Hold your finger in Mark. Probably already lost it. Now I'm gonna leave that. We'll read Matthew 15, but then we'll show you some things. Let's just read this verse and then I'll connect them next time. I don't want to get into it and then drop it. So if you look at Matthew 15, verse 30, it says, "Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel." So you have all kinds of healings there. So we'll go into it next time, but this is connected to that man because he went about and told everybody. And we'll see that next time. We'll go into it. But notice these verses that we've read. Jesus has compassion. He is a merciful God, is a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. And healing is a mercy. Just that right there. That him having mercy on us. One of the ways that's displayed is by his healing power. It's not just when you did something wrong, because everybody's done something wrong. But we're in a state here on this earth. And one of the ways Jesus, remember, we were looking at Jesus because he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He was the will of God in action. When we look at him, we can tell and see what God did, or what his will for humanity is, because he was doing it through Jesus, because Jesus always did the perfect will of God. And so when we see him acting with compassion, when we see him acting with mercy,
We know that God is the same way today.
So some people say that healing isn't for today. Whole denominations will say healing's not for today. Well, let me ask you a question. Is compassion for today? Is mercy for today? Let me ask you a question. Is God, is the Lord still compassionate and merciful? Is he? Of course he is. Well, we've seen that the words compassion and mercy are tightly coupled. They're consistently mentioned in connection with healing in what Jesus did. So we know that because God's mercy is still for us today, then healing is for us today. Because God has not changed. If you were to go to almost any Christian and ask him, is God a compassionate God? Is he a merciful God? Well, if they don't know the Bible, maybe, and they've been taught wrong, maybe they would think, well, he's hard, like what we were talking about. But if you can establish that you look at these verses, if you can establish that he's a merciful God, a compassionate God, and you look at these other places, then you know he heals. He has not changed. He's the Father of mercies. Remember what we read. He's the Father of mercies. And that's not only forgiveness of sins and the remission of sin is a mercy, but healing is a mercy. If we will just simply think of healing as one of God's tender mercies, then right away our thinking will change. We'll be at a different place. If we'll realize that if God's merciful and compassionate, this great big being, and that one of the ways he shows mercy is through healing, our thinking will take a jump. We'll be in a different place, just like that. Because his mercy's toward us. Remember the first verse we read? His tender mercies are over all his works. Well, that would include you and me, right? So his mercy is toward us. His mercy is available. His compassion is available. And his healing's available. Hallelujah.